Whack Matters is brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial where you can test out Audible's awesome audiobook monthly subscription service. Make sure to go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters.
Are you awake? Now, with that mysterious question, we begin a new episode of the Music Matters Podcast. Now, this episode of the Music Matters Podcast is going to show up in a number of locations. I'm going to post this on the Socratic Circle Podcast. And to be honest with you, I'm going to post this anywhere I can get away with posting it. And here's the reason why. I have some music to tell you about that I think matters. I have some music to tell you about that I think deserves your full attention. Some music that I want you to listen to carefully. Some music that I want you to listen to, well, on repeat. Now, I am recording this episode of the Music Matters Podcast on Monday, February the 18th, 2019, at 9:54 a.m. Central Time. And I have spent this past weekend listening to an album on repeat. I've listened to it over and over again. And the more I listen to it, well, the more I think it deserves some attention. And the reason I want to talk about this album is because it is an album that, well, it's going to be ignored by a lot of people. And so I want to bring it to as many people's attention as possible. Get it, hopefully, a few listens that maybe it would not have received without this podcast. And hopefully, for those who will listen to it, for those who may have already listened to it, to give you some things to think about. Now, I'm not going to do this probably in the typical structure of a music review. I'm going to do this more as a way to pique some interest and hopefully give you some things to think about if you have heard the album. So we'll see how this works. I don't know if this structure is the best, but you know, you got to try different things. And so hopefully this will work. So are you ready? Are you ready to hear about some music that matters? To hear about some music that you should care about? Let me tell you how this all started. Now, I do my typical thing at 11 p.m. Central Time. Every Thursday, I have headphones on, and as soon as the new albums drop, I start listening to new albums. Regardless of genre, I love music, so I start listening, and I start listening. Now, sometimes an album cover will jump out and slap me in the face, and there'll be something about the cover art that really gets my attention. And I know that seems rare in 2019, where you're not walking through the, you know, rows of a music store seeing LPs or CDs with larger artwork. You're kind of just scrolling through your streaming service. But this is a situation where I was scrolling through a music service, and I saw this dreamlike cover. There's a woman. She's kissing a face that's hard to make out. You're like, okay, what's going on here? It kind of looks like a overexposed photo, maybe is the best way to describe it. And I'm like, wow, that's an interesting cover. And I kept looking at it. I'm like, it kind of gives a dreamlike quality, was the first words that I said to myself. That kind of has a dreamlike quality. That's kind of cool looking. And the name of the album is Blushing. Blushing. So Blushing, that's an interesting title. All right, there's a kiss going on here, but it's very dreamlike. It's very interesting the way they did the cover. Now, sometimes cover art is symbolic of something the artist is trying to say about the album in general. Maybe there's a theme, maybe something the album cover art wants you to really start thinking about. In other cases, someone will just try to come up with a cool looking cover, and it doesn't have any meaning or symbolic meaning for the overall idea of the album. Because artists have different, you know, things they want to accomplish. In this particular case, the more I've listened to the album, I think the cover art is trying to capture at least a feeling that I think you're supposed to get when you listen to this album. But again, the name of the album is Blushing. Again, it has this really dreamlike quality to the cover art. There's a woman kissing. And again, the person she's kissing, it's hard to kind of make out exactly who they are. And I think that there could be some symbolism in that as well. Now, the name of the artist. The name of the artist is Copeland. Copeland. C-O-P-E-L-A-N-D. Copeland. Now, for some of you, you're like, why are you spelling it? Why are you saying it that way? Because everyone should know Copeland. No, there's a lot of people who have no idea who Copeland is. There's no idea. So let me give you some basic background of the band. So hopefully this will at least provide, you know, a little bit of context of who they are. Copeland is an American band formed in 2001. Now, some people would like to classify them maybe as a rock band. I don't know why Wikipedia classifies them as a rock band. That's a little misleading. If you're going to go to this new album by Copeland called Blushing and think you're going to get a rock album, you're going to be sadly mistaken. No, this is not rock in any traditional understanding of that terminology, okay? We just forget that concept. Forget that concept. Just think of Copeland as a band formed in 2001. Now, they've released a number of albums. Let's go through some of these albums that they have released. They released In Motion in 2005. It made it to number 115 on the charts in the U.S., in 2006, they released Eat, Sleep, Repeat. That made it to number 90 on the U.S. charts. Then in 2008, they made an album called You Are My Sunshine, which made it to number 48. So the highest charting album they've ever had is You Are My Sunshine, and it made it to number 48 on the charts. Now, why is that significant? Well, that just shows you this is not a band that has some massive following or mainstream appeal. They're kind of under the radar. And sometimes the bands that are under the radar sometimes are still putting out very interesting, very compelling art. They're just not getting the attention that maybe you feel they deserve. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not necessarily a Copeland fan. No way, no how could I even be classified as a Copeland fan. I have probably heard all of their albums because, well, I listen to pretty much everything that is made, but I can't tell you. It would be interesting. I have to go through my music libraries on the different streaming services that I subscribe to because I subscribe to pretty much all of them. I doubt that I have a Copeland album saved to my library. I may have some individual tracks. I don't think I have an album. I can't say, well, oh, that Copeland album, yeah, that's the one, man, hey, that one, I remember that one. That would not be an accurate description in any way, shape, or form. But again, when I go through, you know, I'm sitting there scrolling through music on a streaming service, you know, I know it's kind of a very 2019 to say, but you don't really care about the name of the band, right? I mean, you're not like going through a record store going, man, ooh, who's that band? Who's that band? Wait, I've got stacks of CDs right here. Okay, who's that band? Who's that band? Who's that? Oh, wait. Never heard of that band. The cover looks cool. Do I want to pay $15? Do I want to pay $10 for this CD of a band I've never heard? Good chance I'm going to pass on and go to the next album of a band that I know. But now in 2019, the wonderful thing about it is if I'm just scrolling through music and I see a cover or see something that looks interesting, I can hit play on it because it's not going to cost me any more than my monthly subscription. That's one of the wonderful things about the way music is distributed in 2019. Before, I'm going through a record store and I see a cover that looks cool. If I don't know anything about the band or I'm not a long-term fan, you know, have been a fan for a long time, there's going to be a part of me that may want to buy the album, but I have a limited amount of money. So if I'm going to have to choose from a band I know versus a band I don't know and take a risk, there's going to be a good chance I'm going to walk on and get what I know because I want my money to be well spent. But in 2019, who cares? Listen to anything you want. Who cares what it is? Who cares what genre it is? Who cares? Who cares if it's, you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, Norwegian death metal. It doesn't matter if I even care about Norwegian death metal. As long as I'm paying $9 a month. Just listen to it. And so, in this particular case, I listen to everything. But for others, I tell you about this. You pull up your streaming service. You go to Copeland and listen because it's not going to cost you anything. That's the power that bands have in 2019. If they can get people to know about them, if they can get people to hear about them, there's a chance someone will go and at least listen to it once. Now, one stream is not worth a lot of money, but it's still worth something. So in this particular case, the reason I want to talk about Copeland is because, well, they've not had a lot of major success. I mean, their highest charting album was number 48, and that was in 2008. In musical terms, from 2008 to 2019, that's like 1,000 years. I mean, your album today can be forgotten about in 48 hours. So, in a lot of sense, they could be forgotten and they could be overlooked. But because these bands who don't have a lot of attention still making compelling art, there's at least a chance for them to get noticed if you can get the information out there. If you can point people to them, if you can say, hey, go check them out on Spotify or on Apple or on Tidal or whatever, you know, streaming service there is. At least they will get a chance to be heard. So I just wanted to mention that's one of the positive things about the way music is distributed today. Now, I know there's some negatives, but there is a chance now to get someone to listen to something that they never would have listened to before because they never would have spent their money on it. Who's Copeland? Who are they? Some band formed in 2001 and the highest charting album was what, number 48 and way back in 2008. I mean, they're pretty much irrelevant in terms that we can understand when it comes to music today. I hope that makes sense. And I hope it shows you at least the hope that we can have about how music is distributed in 2019. Now, back to the album and back to the band. Okay, I know I could get into a 10-hour discussion on that, and we could bring in people and argue different sides, but my side is right. Okay, all right. Yeah, everyone has the right to their own opinion, even no matter how wrong it may be. All right, here we go. So let's go through these albums again. All right. Oh, I completely forgot their 2003 album. I completely forgot their 2003 album. I'm glad I just remembered it. 2003, Beneath Medicine Tree. It did not chart. It did not chart. It didn't do anything. So I was going through the albums that charted. So I apologize. 2003 was their first album, Beneath Medicine Tree. Then In Motion 2005, which made it to number 115. Eat, Sleep, Repeat 2006, which made it to number 90. And then You Are My Sunshine 2008, which made it to number 48. All right. They released an album in 2014. And that one made it to, what is even the name of their 2000? I'm going to have to look this one up. I thought I had it memorized. Was it IXORA? IXORA. I believe that was the name of the album. And it made it to number 93. That was the 2014 release. Again, IXORA. 2014 made it to number 93 on the charts. So that one did not even do as well as the 2008 album. But here they are in 2019, and they have released an album called Blushing. All right, a little bit of background. Again, for some people that may matter, for some it does not, but at least gives you a context. This is a band that's been around for a while, making music, hasn't had any major mainstream attention, hasn't done anything of great significance. So this is a band that has the potential to just kind of disappear into the pages of history. May not even make the pages of history, just kind of be forgotten. We'll see if anything changes with this album. I think there's a chance that the 2019 album could be, possibly, their highest charting album, but it's hard to know with how music works in 2019 with the streaming services. There's so much available that it's easy to be even, it's easier to be overlooked now than maybe in any other time in history, because there's just so much available to people. That could be a negative to the way music is distributed. But what do we want to talk about in regards to this album? Well, let's do this. Before we get to the album, we probably have to at least deal with what some people believe is the elephant in the room, all right? Copeland. Are they a Christian band? Are they a Christian band? Oh, boy. Hey, are you awake? All right, you'll get to why I'm saying that in a minute. All right. But in this particular case, that Christian tag on a band, that's death in some ways to some people. And here's the reason why. A lot of Christian music, and I know this is going to offend some people, but I hate, as someone who has listened to a whole lot of Christian music, spent two long years completely researching the entire history of contemporary Christian music and listening to hundreds and hundreds of albums, I've gone to plenty of contemporary Christian artist concerts. I have listened to hundreds of thousands of hours. I have CDs of theirs. I'm just going to be honest. A lot of contemporary Christian music is subpar, and I don't care what anybody says. It does not hold up to their secular counterparts, because in many cases, Christian bands are simply copying what is going on in the secular world. They're not innovators. They're not creators. They are copiers putting out a subpar copy of the secular music. Secular music is where the innovation is taking place. That's where change is happening. That's where the evolution of a genre is occurring. And Christians are just sitting there going, oh, let's Christianize that and give us a Christian version. I don't want a Christian subpar version of the music that I can find in the secular world that is, well, better. All right? Does that make sense? Now, I know sometimes there can be second-rate hacks and copies in the secular world as well, but let's just be honest. The Christian music world is not known for innovating Christian music in the contemporary sense. They simply are for copying it, and that bothers me greatly. All right? Do I want the original that sounds good, or do I want a copy of what's going on in the secular world, but they just throw in some Christian lyrics? Now, I mean, I could create a major debate here and offend people, but I think sometimes, look, even from a Christian perspective, and for those who may not realize this, I am a Christian. I'm a pastor of a church, so hopefully I am. Okay, but I think I think the one thing about Christianity is we're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be truthful. We shouldn't pretend. We shouldn't pretend something is better just because it says Jesus. Saying Jesus or talking about the Christian life doesn't make the music better. It may, from your perspective, make the lyrics better, but it doesn't make the music better. And even just because you say Jesus doesn't mean that it is better when you look at it from an objective standard and how you rate and judge lyricism and music writing ability. Music writing ability isn't just because you can say Jesus and talk about the Christian life. It's about how your ability in describing that in a creative, unique way. All right? That is something. So in this particular case, Copeland has been by many labeled as, dun 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 dun, a Christian band. Now, the band itself doesn't like that title. The band itself has pushed back on that. In fact, from those in the band, they have clearly stated they are not a Christian band. All right? Someone from the band has stated this: it's not our nature to have religious connotations. We're not a ministry band. We have some people in the band that are Christians, but that is not a focus of our band. We have no agenda in our band other than art. We have no agenda other than art. Now, I find that to be a powerful statement because I wish all Christian bands, like, if you are a band, that means you make music. Music is an art form. Now, some Christian bands want to use the art form not to really create art, but to use the art simply as a tool to try to minister or to evangelize. They're not worried at, like, they're like, here's this art thing called music. Let me take whatever's going on in music. Let me just take it. Let me just grab onto it. And I'm going to use it as a tool for my agenda, which is ministry, or to reach out to people for Christ. Now, you may say that that agenda is pure, holy, and right, but to me, it's not good in the sense that they're simply using art as a tool. They're not creating art. They're taking art that someone else created. They're taking a style. They're taking a genre. They're not doing anything with it. They're just going to kind of copy it, but they're using it as a tool. They're not interested in really creating art. They're not really even interested in art. They're simply using the art for their religious purpose or their religious agenda. Now, you may agree with their religious purpose. You may agree with their religious agenda. My question is, wait a minute, what about the art? What about the art of songwriting? What about the art of music making? What about the art of pushing a genre forward? Here's an idea. What about the art of actually creating something new in music? Molding a genre. Right? What about doing something more than, especially in some worship music, writing five words and saying the five words 50,000 times and a never-ending chant and mantra that is mind-numbing with the same chords being repeated in an endless loop of insanity. Okay, is that a good way to describe modern worship music? Like, give me a couple of notes, repeat them over and over and over and over and over and over, say the same words over and over and over and over and over and over until you pretty much hypnotize people. That's, to me, not musical art. That drives me crazy. So I think I love the fact that they're saying, hey, we don't have a religious agenda. Our agenda is art. Art. I wish all Christian musicians would make art their agenda. But I don't think we should classify Copeland as a Christian band. They don't want to be classified that, so we should not classify them. But that doesn't mean that there isn't meaningful art being made. Right? I think sometimes with Christians, it's weird. They have a different standard for music that they give for movies. Hey, it's a secular movie. Let's pay attention to it. Let's talk about it. Let's review it. Oh, it's not a Christian album. Ooh, I don't know if we should talk about it. I don't know if we should review it. Well, secular movie, why is that okay? But secular music's not okay. So here's the thing. Copeland is not a Christian band. In the new album, there is a song where they even drop the F-bomb. They only do it once, but it's there. So if you don't like explicit lyrics, at least be aware that there is one track on the album where they do that. This is not a Christian album. It's not trying to give us a Christian anything. This is an album dealing with something different than that. But we had to at least deal with the elephant in the room because Copeland has always talked about. So now let's get to what I want to really talk about. Man, I've already been talking for 23 minutes. There's so many things to discuss. All right, here we go. Hey, are you awake? That question that I started with, I think that comes from the album. I think, hey, are you awake? Really captures what this album is about. The only way to describe this album is this. And again, this is a situation. This is how I'm going to approach this. I'm going to be very careful to give, I don't want to give anything away. I believe this album is an album kind of like a movie. If you read a movie review and they kind of give away too many spoilers, it kind of spoils the movie. I think this is an album that where you don't want you don't want to really kind of know where you're going when you hit play, because I think the journey and the unexpected is what makes this album worth your time. But hey, are you awake? That to me is what the album hinges on. It's a question about your alertness, your awakeness, because this album is all about a dreamlike state. The use of the term dream, dreams, dreaming, I don't know exactly how many times that phrase is used in the album, but trust me, it's repeated a number of times. And the concept is there. The concept of a dreamlike state or dreaming shows up, I think, in the cover art. It shows up in the music itself. The music creates a dreamlike state where there are so many things going on. When you dream, weird things can happen in your dream. Things that don't make sense, right? Like you can be having a dream that you're walking to the store and the next thing you know, you're attacked by ninjas. You're like, wait, where did the ninjas come into this dream? Wait, why am I dreaming about ninjas? Wait, what's going on? Things happen in your dreams that don't seem to make any sense. They kind of come out of left field. Where, well, musically, the album has all kinds of interesting things happening. Like if you have a good pair of headphones, there is a lot of interesting musical things going on. You're like, whoa, wait, what was that? Wait. You have vocals that will drop from the right channel to the left channel only. And then it'll come back to both channels, left and right. It'll drop back to the right. You'll have an instrument in the right channel that's not present in the left channel. And then you'll have the music come back to both channels. You have this weird using of left and right channel. You have this dreamlike quality where the music is going one direction and then something will be introduced. A lot of effects on the vocals are going on. This is an album where you need to put headphones on. You need to take your phone and turn it off, and you need to listen. Don't even worry about the lyrics at first. Just pay attention to all the things going on musically. Now, yes, they could have done more musically and added more creative twists and turns, because at some parts of the album, you could say, well, that's kind of, they're borrowing from some of the things that appear earlier in the album. And you could make some kind of criticism of that, that at some point, does it kind of become too much the same, but I think for every about the time you think it's the same, something will come out of left field that is fascinating. So I think this album carries on a dream-like state. Let's do this. The opening line here of the album, and I just think this is an interesting idea. Let's do this. Hey, hey, are you awake? That line you're going to hear. Another line in here that just kind of gives you this dream-like concept. Did you dream about anything last night? Did you dream about anything? We should probably get up and get going soon. What did you dream? I don't want to be rushed. Did you dream about anything? Those questions really is kind of like, when you're listening to the album, it's like you're in this dreamlike state and all kinds of ideas are coming at you. Do they fit a full narrative? I don't think they do, because I don't think a dream fits a full narrative, right? Your dream there may be some kind of narrative to the dream, but there's all these other things that may not really fit the narrative. And then when you wake up, you're like, wait, what? Wait, how do I interpret that? Do I even try to interpret that? Did I have bad pizza last night? What was that? And I think in a sense that there's times in the album you're kind of like, wait, what are they saying here? Wait, does this fit? Where does this fit? Let me give you an example. The opening of the album, you have this. There's extra bullets in the shed next to the gasoline. They'll take us when we're dead. I see them when I dream. I know and thought I never belonged on this pebble where I stand. Heaven knows what I am. What is that? There's a lot of things to unpack there. There's a lot of different ways. Do we even try to interpret that? Is it trying to give us something to even interpret, or is it just trying to give us this dreamlike quality of, wait, what's going on? Bullets in the shed? Gasoline? They're going to take us? Wait, let me read it again to make sure I don't misquote it. They'll take us when we're dead? whoa, that's going on. And then all of a sudden it gets into this like really philosophical question. And I thought I never belonged on this pebble where I stand. Is that earth? Heaven knows what I am. Would you be my love until I can prove that this world is not real? This world is not real. This world is not real. What? That's just crazy the way the lyrics are going. But the lyrics fit the music because the music is this weird dream. Like, wait. Because as you're trying to figure out the lyrics, if you're listening to the music at the same time, you're going, wait, what was that? What was that? Wait, what? That's interesting. A good example. There's this awesome instrumental break in the song Suddenly. This instrumental break that's just fascinating. You're like, where did that come from? You're like, wait, of all the different instruments that's being used, all the electronic loops and all the different things that are going on, all of a sudden this instrumental break and you're like, whoa. Where did, again, just like a dream where elements show up in a dream that don't seem to make any sense, but yet it all fits. Even though there's elements that come in that may not seem to make sense lyrically and musically, it all fits together, which to me shows that this is some art to be considered carefully. This is some art that deserves your full attention. All right. Another beautiful, I love this verse. I'll be kissing rhythms from your neck, chasing melodies around your skin, and all the songs my lips should wed, replay over and over again. You were caught in my mind. I can almost still feel it. I know. You're sweet like wine against my lips. How it lingers. That's a beautiful line. I'll be kissing rhythms from your neck, chasing melodies around your skin, and all the songs my lips should wed, replay over and over again. Now there, it's mixing the idea of music with physical touch, with physical desire. It's merging ideas. It's not even really contrasting them, it's merging them. And I think the music is merging a dreamlike state with the lyrics and with the music to give you this weird experience. An experience that if you listen, this is an album where you have to listen to from start to finish. This is not an album that, oh, here's the hit, number three on the charts. Here, this is not about hit singles. This is about a complete piece of work, which deserves your full attention. This is not an album you throw on in the background. I think this requires good headphones. I think this requires good headphones to really hear all the integral parts going on in the music. Now the album wraps up with these lyrics. And these are brilliant. I'm drowning here on solid ground. We're waltzing on the water now. What? I'm drowning here on solid ground. We're waltzing on the water now. Now, that's an interesting contrast. Drowning on solid ground, where you don't think you would be drowning. Waltzing on the water, which you don't think you would be. You'd be drowning on the water. Like, that's an interesting contrast. What is that trying to say? How does that fit into the overall narrative of the album? I don't know if there is even a narrative other than This is from the moment you hit play. You put those headphones on and you hit play. The album is saying, hey, are you awake? Are you awake? You don't know if you're awake? Okay, I don't know if we're awake. I don't know if anyone's awake. Let's just let the music carry us on this weird journey of music, of lyrics. And then when you get to the very end of the album, you kind of sit back and go, wait, what just happened? What was that? Just like you do when you wake up from a dream. Wow, am I awake? What was that? That, I think, is what the album wants you, when you're done, it wants you to go, hey, am I awake? What was that? Now, it's only going to work if you turn everything off and put on the headphones and pay attention. That's the only way this piece of art is going to work. This is not a situation where you just throw it on and do other things. Now, that's going to limit its reach. Because not a lot of people are willing to put on their headphones and pay attention to an entire album. They're not. That's just the reality of 2019. For those you can say, hey, please do so when they're done, I think they're going to say, hey, am I awake? What was that? And I challenge you to put on some headphones, pull up the album Blushing by Copeland, and go on a little journey, a dreamlike journey. And I think when you're done, you will appreciate it and you will be thankful that you took the time to do so. It's not a long album. I don't know if I have the, do I have the total time here? No, I don't think it gives me the time. Let me pull up a different streaming service. Give me one second. And for those who are new to listening to me do podcast, I kind of like being not as professional. I like it to be more organic. So 48 minutes. Apple Music tells me that. 48 minutes. It has 11 tracks. It opens with a track called Pope and ends with the track Waltz on Water. But it is, I've been listening to it via Spotify because I'm doing the crossfade, 2 second crossfade. That's where one track just immediately fades into the next track. And I don't have that like breaking of the tracks. I don't know if it is already designed to do that. I haven't listened to it on other streaming services. I've been listening to it on Spotify. But I would, this is what I will end with this. Listen to it first and don't look at lyrics. I would say listen to it twice. Don't look to lyrics. Just listen to the musical, the cool things going on musically. Just pay attention to what's going on musically. Then after you've listened to it two or three times, just pay attention to the music. Don't even listen to the words. Listen to the effects they're placing upon the vocals. Listen to all the swerves that are happening musically. After you've done it two or three times, then go back, listen to it, paying attention to the lyrics. That is how this album must be appreciated. The musical creativity going on in there, I think, is worthwhile. I think Blushing by Copeland is definitely art. It's art that matters. It's art that deserves your attention and art that will leave you. Again, I'm going to keep repeating it. Hey, are you awake? And anything that gets you to question what you just heard, to make you just really go, wait, that was an experience, is worth your time. All right. Thank you for listening to this very unconventional music review, but I don't want to try to give too much away. I really want you to just dig into it and experience it. And as always, I would love to get your feedback and let me know what you think. And if you have an interpretation of the album, please share that interpretation because, well, that's what makes music fun, is listening to it and trying to figure out what it is saying. All right. Until the next episode of The Music Matters. Well, go out and listen to some music and listen to it in a way that demonstrates that that music actually matters. Happy listening.
Thanks for listening to the podcast that we produce here at WackMatters.com. Just in case you didn't know, we have a lot of different shows running right now. There's Life's What You Rate It, where me and my brother Mark rate everything on a scale from 1 to 10 that exists in the entire universe. Tune In, where Marcus and his friend Karsten talk about cartoons and their value for people of all ages. Of course, Whack Tracks, where me and a bunch of friends make commentary tracks for whatever shows or movies we might be into at the time. And our newest show on the network, The Music Matters, where my friend Trevor creates a discussion around all the matters relating to music. If you'd like to support the content we make here at WackMatters.com, please go to WackMatters.StoreMV.com and check out our merchandise section. We sell t-shirts right now, and there's more merchandise to come. Even if you don't want to buy a t-shirt, there is a donate button at WackMatters.com that you can use to support the content that we already make and to help fund creative ideas for the future. Additionally, this podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial with Audible.com where you get to listen to a free audiobook of your choosing and can continue subscribing for an awesome audiobook content subscription. Remember, that's audibletrial.com/whackmatters. We love you all and hope you will continue checking out the content we make here at whackmatters.com. Have a great day.